chapter 11, verses 19 through 30, verses 19 through 24. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Burkett notes, observe here, 1, that Antioch becomes the Jerusalem of the Gentile Christians, that is, the chief place whither the Gentile converts resorted, as Jerusalem, before the dispersion by persecution, was resorted to by the Jews and made the principal seat of their residence. Observe, 2, how God overruled the persecution and dispersion occasioned by St. Stephen's death for disseminating and scattering the gospel as far as Antioch. Verse 19, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Antioch preaching the word. Thus has the blood of the martyrs all along been the seed of the church, and what the devil and his instruments have designed for the extirpation, God has consequently overruled for the propagation of the gospel. Observe 3, the great success which the ministers and ministries of the gospel had at Antioch. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. By the hand of the Lord is meant the power and assistance of the Lord, which did accompany them in dispensing of his word, and enabled them to work miracles for the confirmation of it. The hand is the organ or instrument of working in man. When it's attributed to God, it denotes his power and help. The hand of God was manifested in the miracles which they wrought, and in the faith and conversion which the sight of those miracles produced. Learn hence that faith and conversion are wrought by the hand of the Lord. They are his work. Study and endeavor is the minister's. The blessing and success is God's. When he takes the sword of the Spirit into the hand of the Spirit, then shall it work wonders. Observe 4, how the joyful tidings of success of the gospel at Antioch, being heard and understood by the apostles that remained at Jerusalem, they send Barnabas to confirm the new converts at Antioch in the Christian faith. Learn thence that the news of any sinners, much more of many sinners, conversion unto God by the preaching of the gospel, is a matter of great delight and rejoicing to the ministers of Christ. Observe 5, the holy and honorable character which the Spirit of God gives of Barnabas. He was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. By a good man is meant a kind and charitable man, he having actually sold his estate and laid it at the apostles' feet for the benefit of the poor, as Acts 5, 36 and 37 informs us. And his good works, accompanying his good preaching, his good life seconded his sound doctrine, was a great mean of the conversion of so many, and that much people were added to the Lord. Observe lastly, the holy exhortation which Barnabas gave these new converts at Antioch. He exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, that is, with a firm and fixed resolution of will to keep close to the profession of the truth of Christ. Whatever tribulations or distress they might meet with, young converts need exhortation and counsel to establish and confirm them in the faith of the gospel, and to encourage them to hold fast to Christ. Verses 25 and 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Burkett notes, observe here a further instance of the piety of that good man. Barnabas, having a great zeal and fervent desire that the gospel might be more and more propagated, he went to Tarsus to seek out Saul, that they might join together in the work of Christ. And having found him, he brought him to Antioch, where for a whole year they instructed the church in that city and taught much people. Oh, how happy is it for the church of Christ when her ministers, laying aside all private interests to unitedly apply themselves to promote the common interest of Christianity by propagating the gospel far and near. Observe farther how the believers, both Jews and Gentiles, were united in one common name at Antioch. The Jews had hitherto called them Nazarites and Galileans, and they called themselves disciples, believers, brethren, and those of the church. But now in this place, Antioch, they were first called Christians. A very great honor conferred upon this Gentile city, which exalted her now above Jerusalem itself. At Antioch, a Gentile city, Christ set up his standard for the Gentiles and displayed his banner and puts his own name upon the despised Gentiles. They who before were counted dogs and the off-scouring of all things have now the venerable name of Christ imposed upon them. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Note lastly that the disciples did not call themselves Christians first at Antioch, much less did their enemies give them that name, but they had it by divine authority imposed upon them. God would have Christ's disciples called Christians. One, as scholars who receive their denomination from their master, they are taught to learn of and imitate Christ, whose name they bear. Two, as the word Christian signifies anointed ones, it puts them in mind of their divine unction, which they have received from the Holy One, whereby they are made kings and priests unto God. We are at this day called Reformed Christians. God grant that we may not cheat ourselves with an empty and insignificant name, but let us fill up that glorious title and be reformed in our lives, as well as in our religion, beautifying our holy profession by a holy and becoming conversation. Otherwise, an unbaptized heathen at the great day will not change a state with many baptized Christians. Verses 27 through 30. And these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Burkett notes, observe here, 1, that the wisdom of God at the first planting of the Christian church did confer upon some of its members extraordinary gifts, as the gift of tongues, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, and the like. Accordingly, at this time, certain persons who had the gift of prophecy and did foretell things to come, being now at Antioch, by revelation from the Spirit of God, foretold that there would shortly be a great famine over all Judea and several other parts of the world, which exactly came to pass in the reign of the Emperor Claudius. Where note that as it is God's prerogative to foreknow future things, so it is his prerogative to enable others to foretell future things. This famine was here foretold not by judicial astrology, but by divine revelation, that God, who provided for the patriarchs by means of Joseph's foreseeing the famine in Egypt, provided now for the Christians by Agabus's foretelling the famine which came upon Judea. Agabus stood up and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all Judea. As God's omnipotence is exerted here for his church's protection, so is his omnipotence employed for its sustenance and preservation. Yea, all his attributes are engaged for her benefit and advantage. Observe, too, the full proof and evidence which the new converts at Antioch gave of the truth of their conversion to the Christian religion, namely, their charity and alms seasonably sent to the succor and relief of their fellow members in Christ, which were in Judea. These were become very poor by reason of the extraordinary malice and long persecution of the Jews against them, and the seasonable succor now sent them from Antioch was a singular comfort to them and a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God. Observe lastly the wise regulation of their charity. Every man gave according to his ability. This is the true standard of charity. We are to give alms of such things as we have, and according to what we have. Christian prudence must direct us in the exercise of Christian charity. That must direct us in the finding out fit and proper objects of our charity, that we may give most to them that have most need. Prudence must also direct us in timing of our charity, that we do not put our poor brethren off with frivolous excuses and tedious delays. Then it must direct us in the measure of our charity, that it doth not exceed the bounds of our estates. Few, indeed, are guilty of error on that hand, but it is impossible, but there may be an error in the excess, as well as in the deficit, of our Christian charity. To prevent both evils, let the practice of these primitive Christians be a pattern for our imitation, who determined everyone according to his ability to send relief unto the brethren, and send it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.